That's what my lesson is about this morning. Something that we, a lot of times, do not see. We don't see it coming. And that's change. My life this past year has been full of change. My father died last July. My mother's now in assisted living. My granddaughter has been diagnosed with, 1-year-old granddaughter with cerebral palsy. And the latest change in my life is we have a young lady living in our house. Her name is Callie. She's a sophomore at Harrison High School, and she's moved in about 10 days ago. And Callie, we're glad to have you with us. I want you to get to meet Callie. My life has been full of change. But you know, I'm not in this by myself. Your lives are full of change. I look out here and I see all you different folks, and I see the things that you're going through in your lives, and whether you're a student at Purdue and the changes that you've made by coming to West Lafayette, or I look at you and I see health issues that have arrived in many of your lives. I see people that have switched jobs. Our lives are full of change, physical change, changing on a regular basis. But that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about spiritual change. We look at our lives and we see physically that our lives change almost daily in different areas. But what about your spiritual life? Should it not be changing on a regular basis? When was the last time that you heard a lesson preached and you changed your life? You know, a lot of times we come and we hear lessons and it's a warm, fuzzy thing, and you know, we get excited and we have good intentions. But I'm talking about a lifetime change. When was the last time it happened? When was the last time you attended a Bible class and you begin to read, like in 2 Peter, and you see different things in there and you realize, I've got to make a change? Or when was the last time you sat down and just simply read God's Word and you made a change? I think sometimes we're satisfied with attending services on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday evening and sometimes doing a good deed, and we feel that I am right in the sight of God. I'd like, if you will, this morning, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I would like to begin reading with about verse 5. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and it choked it. And other fell on the good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, how many times have we read this parable that Jesus taught? And we're all good ground, right? That's where we are. We're good ground. Let's continue reading here. In verse 9 it says, "And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be?" This parable that he just gave, he says, "No, what's the meaning of all this?" Well, let's look, verse 10. "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh to the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So we understand that. Some of the seed was cast out on the wayside, and some people heard it for a little bit and really didn't do much for them. But let's continue reading. Verse 13, "They on the rock are they which they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." So here we go and sow this seed, and some people grab a hold of it, and for just a little while, they're there. But they don't really put the roots down. And what happens when temptation comes? And then verse 14. "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." So then we have the fruit, or we have the seed that's thrown out there and the thorns take it over. But here we are in verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Now, for you young folks in the audience, that's cursive writing. Really, there's young folks in school that are having a hard time now reading that. We were encouraged, this congregation. We have been reading January, February, and March. We have been asked to read the books of Luke and Acts. And we have been asked to ask ourselves this question: what lesson did Jesus want me to receive? I've gone through Luke and Acts, and I've been asking myself this question, and I have been getting all beat up. This parable that we just read, I want to go back. I've read that parable I don't know how many times, and I have preached this lesson. And you know what? This lesson has always been for everybody else because I am the good soil. But I've been going through Luke, and I've been asking myself the question, what lesson did Jesus want me to receive? And verse 14 really got me. Let's look at verse 14. "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." The question is, we were asked to go and look for thorns in our lives. What is it that's stopping us from doing what God wants us to do as children of God? I've been finding all kinds of thorns in my life. I have been choked out. The abilities that God has given me have been choked out by the cares and the pleasures and the joys of this life. I have decided, and I've made some changes. We'll talk about those in just a little bit. The reading a little while ago was Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me ask you something. Can you say that? Can I say that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, can I say that my life is all about Jesus Christ? Or what is my life about? Is my life about the Chicago Cubs? Is my life about gardening? Is my life about 4-H? What's my life all about? What is the gist of what our lives should be like? How should we be living our everyday lives? Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What is really the focus of my life? Can I say that God's Word and having a good spiritual life is what my life was all about? Or, verse 14, is my life so wrapped up with the cares and pleasures and joys of this life? This verse, as I ask myself that question, hit me right between the eyes. Because there's so many things in this world I enjoy doing that are good things that are stopping me from doing what I need to do for my Lord. What is it that Christ wants me to do? Like I said, we've been reading the last 3 months, Luke and Acts. What's Christ want me to do? What did the first century church look like? And that banner over there hanging on the wall, "Follow me." Can we say that we're following Jesus in our lives right now? I want to look at just a couple of things that I've looked at in Luke, and there's many. I've got 11 in my sermon this morning, but we're only going to do maybe two. But I want you to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Very, very basic lesson, and one that we've probably all heard many times. I have. I've preached it many times. But remember, we need to keep asking ourselves the question, what lesson did Jesus want me to receive? Look at the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?'" We're all good Samaritans, right? We look here and we see this man that was beaten, left half dead, robbed. We see the priest and the Levite coming by, which they should have stopped, but they didn't. But we see the Good Samaritan coming by, and what did he do? He got out of his comfort zone a little bit, didn't he? He did something that was inconvenient, didn't he? Did you ever stop and think about where the Good Samaritan was going? Where was he going? He was traveling on this road. He evidently had some important thing to do to be traveling on this road. But what did he do? He was inconvenienced. He was probably uncomfortable. He spent money. He went out of his way to take care of a total stranger. Now, what about us as Christians? When was the last time that we did something that was inconvenient? I've always looked at myself as being a good Samaritan. I do good things, but I'm going to tell you something. As I looked at this lesson, I realized that I'm not always a good Samaritan. I'm not always willing to inconvenience myself and put myself out for the benefit of somebody else that needs my help. Sometimes we've got to do things that's inconvenient. Let me tell you about one. Norman just had surgery. And I had some situations with Norman that I was very uncomfortable with. He had to get undressed. And he couldn't do it by himself. I had to help him. I was uncomfortable with that, and so was he. And then I had to help him get dressed. And he was uncomfortable with that, and so was I. And here he was. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I don't know much about this stuff. But here he was. We had to change his bandage. Okay, it's up here on his shoulder. And here he had just had shoulder surgery, and the wounds were up here, and this whole arm was numb, whole shoulder area for 2 or 3 days. Okay, and here he is in his sling. I got to get that shirt off. And then he had this big ball around here, and it had a strap up around his neck that had the medicine in it, and this catheter went from that end of the shoulder. We got it done. It might have been interesting to have a little video of that. It was rather interesting. I didn't realize one of those would have so many straps on it. It just seemed like there was 30 or 40 straps on this thing. But there was one fun part of that, and that was changing the bandage. You know, that bandage had all kinds of tape on it, and generally it's pretty painful when you change that. I says, Norman, how do you want to do this? You want to do it fast or you want to do it slow? I says, I really don't care. I'm going to enjoy it either way. And see, I would have deprived myself of that joy if I wasn't a good Samaritan, right? But seriously, I haven't always been a good Samaritan. And I'm ashamed of that. I was traveling through Ohio a while back, and a lady came up to me at a gas station, and she says, can you help me with $10 of gas? I don't remember all the details, but the bottom line is, I told her no. And to this day, it bothers me. When somebody asked me specifically, and I told her no, and I had my credit card, and I could have very easily swiped it, and I could have very easily paid for that $10 in gas, but I didn't do it. I don't know whether God was testing me again, but just a few weeks ago, down here on North 9th Street, a lady came up to me, and she says, sir, I need $3 of gas. Can I borrow $3? She says, I'm going to a certain place, and it's so many miles, I'm on empty right now, and if I can, $3 will get me to there and back to my home. You know what I did? I went out and filled her tank. Now, I know what you're thinking. Can't wait to meet me at a gas station, right? What do you think when you get one of these? You know what I think? You know how I view this? This is a work order. I look at it totally different. I look at all these people that are listed in here that need our prayers, and they not only need our prayers, but they need our help. And you know what happened? We're not being a good Samaritan when we pass by on the other side. And I know for a fact that there's some folks in here that do not get the attention that they need. But I do want to say one thing about Bob Visa. Bob made a statement to me the other day. He said, "Bill, I just feel like the church, my church, is swarming around me. And every one of these people that are on these lists, and every one of our members here, and even our neighbors and friends that need our help, they should feel the same way that Bob does. That my brothers and sisters are swarming around me." One thing I'm trying to say, folks, this morning is, as I read through Luke and Acts, with asking myself this question, I've read and looked at it totally different than I ever have in the past. Let's look at one other lesson, and then I need to move on. This one's found in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 has three parables in it. These three parables are about the lost. Now, why do you think Jesus put these three parables in here about the lost? This is one of the main things that he wanted his disciples, his followers to do, is to search and to teach the lost. We have the parable there of the lost sheep. We have the parable of the lost coin. We have the parable of the lost son. But I want to read the last passage of each one of these parables. Let's look at it. Verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which needeth no repentance." Now, why did he give us that parable of the sheep? The parable of the coin ends up in verse 10. Look at it. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." What was that whole parable about? And then the parable of the son, look at verse 32. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive, and was lost, and is found." Now, what's the importance of this? We go back. What lesson did Jesus want me to receive from these three parables about the lost? I have a responsibility as a disciple of Christ to go forth and to tell people about Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore into all nations." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. "Go." Luke 24, 46 and 47. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We've got our marching orders. I look at this and I looked at it a little differently this time. What are you doing, Bill, to tell your friends and the people that you supposedly love, what are you doing to tell them about Jesus? The most precious gift that we could give anybody is telling them about Jesus Christ and telling them that you love them and that you want to save their soul. So what have I done? I've made a change. I carry one of these handy-dandy cards with me. They're on the table in the back. Just about everywhere I go now. I've got them in my truck, and I've got them in my van, and I've got them in the Rogue. I carry these things with me. And what have I done with them? My dentist got one. My tax consultant got one. I'd give one to my mechanic, but I'm not sure it'd do any good. I handed one to a lady. I was sitting at the credit union the other day, and I told her, I says, Kristen, I'm gonna ask you a question that you can't ask me. I says, do you go to church? How's your spiritual life? And you know, sometimes it's pretty interesting the things that people will say. But you know, after I talked to Kristen a little bit, I found out that her sister used to attend here. Not only her sister, but also her mom used to attend here. My tax consultant, my dentist, people I come in contact now, I'm now telling them about Jesus Christ. I got some co-workers here this morning. Delighted they're here. But I've made a change. There's a lot of other lessons through Luke that I'd like to talk about sometime. Don't have time this morning. One is talking about your treasures. Just how much should we as Christians, how much should we own? How many physical possessions should we as children of God really own? Cost of discipleship. What's it going to cost us to be a Christian? Here's a good one. Who are we going to invite for supper? The 10 lepers. Where's the 9? Forgiveness. Who's going to go to heaven? I couldn't help but realize I needed to change. I've been a member of the church for over 50 years, but I realized I needed to make a change in my life. It's time for me to get serious about my Christianity and do what God wants me to do. It's time for me to adjust my life, make some changes, and do some tuning. What changes have I made? I used to have a little landscaping job. There's 3 buildings in town. I used to do the landscaping. I've decided not to do that anymore. Time to do something different. Time to take my time and spend it where it really needs to be spent, on spiritual matters. Luana, don't worry, I'm still going to take care of your yard. Another change I've made, if I read, I study, I meditate more on God's Word than I ever have. I pray differently. I had a very good lesson on prayer. My prayers are different now. I have a list that I made up at home of those that are lost out in the world that I want to talk to about Jesus. You know, I've always had all these names floating around in the air that I need to talk to him or I need to talk to her. I want to invite them. I made a list. And I look at that list on a regular basis. I've also made another list over here of those that are among our number here that need encouragement. And every so often I go through that list and I read that list and who is it today that I can help make a difference in their lives? I give alms. More than what I drop in the collection tray on Lord's Day. And I'm still looking for other thorns in my life. And I'm finding other thorns, other things that take up my time that I should be using spiritually. I've also changed my attitude. And I know you're glad to hear that, aren't you? I have changed my attitude. And think that things, I look at them differently. Just like Callie back here. 4 months ago, my answer would have been no. I would have said, I'm too old. I'm too busy. but after reading Luke and Acts and seeing the compassion that my Lord had on the poor, the sick, the maimed, the blind. Over and over again throughout the book of Luke, we see that Jesus had compassion. Compassion is seeing someone in distress and doing something about it, taking an action to relieve that distress. My attitude's changed. But the question is, when am I going to put Christ in my life? When's that going to happen? Bill, do you realize that I'm in high school, Bill, and I'm in sports, and I got academics that I need to be involved with, and I just don't have a lot of time. And then another would say, Bill, I'm in college now, and do you realize this semester I have 21 credit hours, and I've got to contemplate on how I can get a part-time job, and I just don't have a lot of time. Bill, do you realize that I just graduated from Purdue? And I've got a new job, and I'm moving to Utah, and I've got to relocate, and I just don't have a lot of time right now. Bill, do you realize I just got married? Just got married, and me and my wife's setting up house, and we're moving to a new location, and we just are very busy and just don't have a lot of time. Bill, do you realize now we've got three kids, and you know how much time children take, and I just don't have a lot of time. Kevin sat back there thinking, just three kids? Bill, do you realize now my kids are teenagers and they take special attention and this is serving the Lord, watching your kids, but there's other things we need to do. You know, I got to watch my kids and I got to watch their electronics and I got so many things I need to do and I'm just so busy. Bill, do you realize my kids are now grown and I've got grandkids? I have to spend time with my grandkids, helping my kids out. Bill, do you realize that I'm old? I'm just old now, and I just don't have the energy I used to have. I get up, and my back hurts, and my knee hurts, and I can't see like I used to, and I can't hear like I used to, and I want to tell you something. Just because you may have gray hair on your head does not mean you stop serving God. Just because maybe you don't feel good doesn't mean you stop doing what God wants you to do. Let me tell you about a man. I received a text a few weeks ago from Bob Visa. Bob Visa sent me a text and he says, Bill, are you okay? I'm praying for you. Now, some of you folks don't know Bob Visa. Let me tell you about Bob Visa. Bob Visa right now has 27 doctors. Bob Visa has had three kidney transplants. He's had a hip replacement. He's had heart surgery. He's had cancer. You name it, this man, to have 27 doctors, he has just about everything. And not only that, but this past January, as he fell, he broke his arm. He broke his nose and he broke his neck. But stop and think about that for just a moment. This man texted me and said, are you okay? I am praying for you. Is that not powerful? How do you think that made me feel? I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, wow. Folks, we're going to sing the song of encouragement this morning. If you're looking at your life and you see that you need to make a change, you don't have to come down on this front row. Make the change. Make the changes. Whatever you need to do in your life. But maybe you're here this morning and you realize, this is the first time I've been here. I like what I've heard. I like to hear about Jesus and his plan to follow me. I'm interested in studying. Let somebody know before you leave the building this morning that you're interested in that. But on the other hand, if you are here and you want to make a change, and you need the brethren here to encourage you with that, there's nothing wrong with coming down and saying, "Brother, I want you to pray for me." Or maybe you're here and you've never made that big change in becoming a Christian. Saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to do that. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what he wants me to do. Because ultimately, I want to have a home in heaven." You've been a very good audience this morning. I appreciate your attention. I went a little bit over time. And I timed myself. 55 minutes is what I timed myself several times. I couldn't quite get it down. It was a little less than that this morning, but I don't like to preach this long, but this is a pretty powerful lesson. I preached it in West Virginia. I preached it here, and in the month of May, I'll be in Maryland. I do appreciate having the opportunity this morning. Mike's supposed to be on vacation, but he's here. I think he was afraid that I was going to say something about him. He was here to protect himself. But folks, you've been a very good audience. I encourage you to change. If you need to change, maybe you don't need to change. But I looked at my life, and as I look through John or Luke and Acts, I just keep. And Mike, excuse me, you're wanting us to move into other things. I'm not done with Luke and Acts yet. I haven't got through all the beatings yet. So we want to sing a song of encouragement this morning. If you're subject, won't you come as we stand and sing?